book. It is the promise of Jesus Christ rising as the day star, the sun, that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn in your hearts. When coupled together, they suggest that the light of Christ's being stays with us 24/7 in the vernacular of the day. The morning star, usually considered to be Venus, is the heavenly body that remains in view latest in the dark morning hours, serving as a harbinger of the day that is coming, eventually intermingling its light with the first rays of the rising sun. It is a precursor of the majestic center of our solar system, the sun, in which we find a new day, a new beginning, a new start, and with it, new hope and new blessings. Through the night, and we might assume through other forms of darkness and sorrow, including through times when we might have temporarily lost our way, one bright star remains in the heavens until morning comes, with its greater light and peace, with its safety, strength, and salvation. The night star shines, and then the day star arises in our hearts. These images of light are ultimately all part of the meaning of the second coming of the Lord, but they have application in thousands of days, tens of thousands of days before then. As troublesome as life can sometimes be, with as many painful moments as there are around us, and notwithstanding the promises and prophecies about contentions and wars and people's hearts failing them, nevertheless, Christ, as both the morning and day stars, guides us, leads us, keeps and loves us through the dark of night and into the bright light of day. There never is a place and there never will be a time when we can fall below the redemptive light of the living Son of the living God. His grace and glory are a beacon to us in good times or bad, a lodestar giving reassurance that God is firm and fixed in our life. They also give us the faith that He is always there, that He hears our prayers, and that He keeps His promises. Some of you have had difficult nights or days, or both, that have gone on for more than one 24-hour period. Some of them go on for weeks and months. Some of them can go on for years. A difficult problem that does not get resolved, a heartache that continues unabated, a conflicted relationship that never seems to heal, the constant presence of poor health or poor finances or poor choices. The list goes on and on. But someday, somewhere, not only when He comes, but in anticipation of His coming, we can rest assured that His light will guide us unfailingly through a star by night and the blazing sun of glory in the day. If we wait for it and watch for it and want it badly enough, our day star will most certainly arise in our hearts. Matthew 2. See also Luke 2. There are so many lessons to be learned from the sacred account of Christ's birth that we hesitate to emphasize one at the expense of all the others. Forgive me while I do just that. One impression that has persisted with me recently is that, in profound contrast with our own times, generally speaking, this is a story of intense poverty. I wonder if Luke did not have some special meaning when he wrote not, "There was no room in the inn," but specifically, that there was no room for them in the inn. We cannot be certain, but it is my guess that money could talk in those days as well as in our own. I think if Joseph and Mary had been people of influence or means, they would have found lodging even at that busy time of year. I have also wondered if Joseph Smith's translation of the passage is suggesting they did not know the right people when it says there was none to give room for them in the inns. We cannot be certain what the New Testament writer intended, but we do know this couple was desperately poor. At the purification offering they made after the child's birth,